And welcome back to Coast, of course. And we will be back in a moment with your phone calls with Gordon James Giannotto as we talk about the Zetas and some incredible stories here on Coast to Coast AM. And you know by now, I'm really serious about my health and yours, doing something about it. And here's something called Super Beets, the circulation superfood powder that helps support healthy heart and blood pressure as well. Amazing energy here. And the New York Times calls Beets fitness in a glass. With Super Beets, you get all the benefits without the bad taste, calories, or added sugar. And each canister of Super Beets gives me 99 GMO beets that taste great. And you'll love the taste of Super Beets. Feel the results in about 20 minutes. Guaranteed or your money back. Original berry or black cherry. I like the black cherry flavor. So you simply get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. You'll get the free book called Beat the Odds and free nitric oxide indicator strips to see the difference for yourself, plus free shipping on your entire order. And you'll love the results you feel. Guaranteed or your money back. So call 1-800-515-0053, 1-800-515-0053, or go to noribeets.com. Back now with Gordon James Giannotto as we talk about all kinds of great things about Planet X and the Zetas. And in your opinion, Gordon, of everything you've studied and investigated, what do you think is happening in the future? I mean, is it going to be a positive ending or a tragic one for us?
Well, the Zetas have emphasized, I'd say, more of the tragic ending. But as I contemplate the whole thing, even if we don't have nuclear war, I don't see a good situation with all the nuclear reactors in the world are located on Earth fault. There are huge tanks of pesticides, diesel fuel, kerosene, pipelines full of petroleum. There are giant chemicals, feedstocks, and all kinds of stuff that, If the plates start moving and you get 9 and 10 earthquakes, all this stuff is going to break loose. So I don't really see, and more and more of the Zetas have been saying, well, they condition it sort of cautiously, like we're not promising anything, but in case you wonder, that if people are unselfish and they're in need, they would rather rescue them than see them go through this. So I'm thinking that the whole situation environmental-wise around the world is pretty bleak if you think about it. And without some sort of massive rescue, nobody would survive. So I'm thinking more and more on my own. And the Zetas haven't said this because they're not giving away. They're holding their cards close to their chest. And they're not saying, oh, yes, we're going to rescue everybody. But they have said that there are some people who would otherwise die but are very unselfish and service to other, they would rescue those, and then they would give them a choice. You could stay with the Zetas in dome cities with the new hybrid race, or you could come back to where you are so you could help other people, or you could just decide you want to go through it and be right here, you know, hands-on as pole shift occurs. So I think they're respecting individual wishes. And you see, you remember the movie Deep Impact and the other movie San Andreas?
Oh, yeah. Sure do. Classics.
Well, in each movie, there was, in Deep Impact, there was, what's her name? She and her father stand there while the tidal wave takes them out. And then in San Andreas, this elderly couple just hug each other as the tidal wave takes them out. So, you know, that's a choice that people have, is if you don't want to deal with survival and you don't want to meet ETs and you're not ready to start over and you don't really want to do anything else, then that's a legitimate choice. But when somebody says, well, if I can't live this way, I'm going to kill myself, that's so selfish, because even if there's only 5 minutes left to your life, if you used it trying to comfort somebody else, that means you've learned the lesson. You've made a conscious choice to be a service to other person with empathy and kindness. So, but these are choices people could make. I've spoken to many people, and it's funny because years ago, nobody would have ever thought about it. They're like, why are you saying that? And then it's just like the air is pregnant with disaster. And people say to me, oh, I've already thought about it. I'm just going to pull up a lawn chair and let the water take me away. So I think that, you know, the 51% who have been contacted, and they haven't all been contacted with every detail of pole shift, what the contact, and that surprised me because I thought, of course, that must be what the Zetas are doing. They're contacting everybody about pole shift. I mean, I'm particularly interested so I can tell you the details. But no, they're not. They're saying, look, as a soul, in your soul progress, are you going to make a conscious choice to be unselfish or selfish? And that's the kind of, that's what they're saying, something's coming up where you're going to have this choice. And which side are you going to be on? That's why I get so upset at the divisions in this country right now, because I'm thinking, why are people trying to make a fight out of something that could be, you know, just full of kindness and acceptance? I don't get it, but that's me.
Well, it could be huge, too. Nancy channels the Zetas. Do you?
Well, it's funny, because if I ask them something, they answer right away. Oh, they are just so right on it. Like, one day, Janet, we were discussing, well, what if you had to go off medication? What would you do? And so she said, well, I'm going to go upstairs and take a nap. And usually that's what she does, and she goes right to sleep. And I thought, well, I'm going up to the top of the mountain and going to cut and split some firewood, and I'll be gone about an hour and a half. So I said goodbye to her, and I was sure she was going to go to sleep. But as I left the door of the house, I said to the Zetas, would you please look in on Janet and see what she should be doing if there was no more medication? Because, listen, she's not the only one in the whole world. There are plenty of people on medication. What if you can't get it anymore? And the odds are you're not going to be able to, right? I mean, think about it.
Impossible.
Right. So I went up and I split. And, of course, this was, when I still could walk. And I came back down. And I figured she'd be sound asleep, so I was being really quiet. And, we own the whole mountaintop, so I was, you know, splitting wood quite a distance. And I came back, and she was dancing around in her underpants and a T-shirt going, you're not going to believe what happened. She goes, as soon as you left the house, three Zetas came through the walls, and one of them was 6 feet tall, just like me. He walked right up to me, and he touched his nose to my nose, and then he entered my body.
Huh. What do they look like, by the way, Gordon?
What
do they look like?
They have they don't speak, so they don't have a big mouth, and they decided to that. What happened was they destroyed their planet, but they already had space travel, so they said, well, you know, we really went wrong, and where we went wrong was sex and emotions, which is actually, you know, a lot of people go wrong with that, those two subjects. So they said, well, let's design ourselves using genetics to be space traveling beings. Well, if you have stomachs and you eat a lot of food, then you have a lot of waste, and the whole issue is like difficult in space. So they decided to not have as the same digestive system as us and paint nutrients on their skin, and they decided to clone themselves so they didn't have any sex organs and they didn't have any emotions. Which is why everybody says they're cold and they don't really have feelings. It's not like they're kind. And so everything was going fine. They came to Earth. They were checking out humans. And then they realized that their cloning wasn't working anymore. So even though they're cloned and they look, you know, there's only a few strains of the cloning design. So they all look pretty similar, but in each body is a completely different soul. And so they realized, oh my God, our cloning isn't working. We really shouldn't have given up sexual reproduction. And look at the Earth humans. The point is not to have bad sex or bad emotions, but have good emotions and have good sex. And so they decided to create a hybrid race. Well, they checked their DNA and ours and theirs match 100%. So the new race, the hybrids, and Janet's already had many of the hybrid children, and they've come down to take her up to meet her children on flying saucers, and so they get to know their mother, and she gets to know.
Does the Zeta story echo the works of the late Zachariah Sitchin?
Well, see, he never really got into the Zetas, but he was talking about the Anunnaki. And
right.
The Anunnaki are 8 to 12 foot tall, selfish human beings. They're banned from coming to Earth, and we're banned from going there. So they were kicked off Earth before Jesus was born because of their selfishness. And at that point, Planet X wasn't anywhere near the solar system. So they went to Mars, and that's why where they went to Mars is the Gale Crater. And that's where the Curiosity rover has landed. That's not by accident. NASA knew that that was the last place that the Anunnaki lived. And that's why all those anomalies that are photographed in the bottom of the Gale Crater, 12,000 feet below sea level, gold jewelry, skulls, drill marks in the stone, communications towers, domes. Even today, there's still UFOs flying over that, but it's not the Anunnaki, it's other races. And, you know, all these people pore over these pictures looking for these unusual anomalies, they call them, on the surface of Mars, and there's tons of them. They brought goats and sheep, and there are skulls of goats and sheep all over the bottom of that crater, and they brought grain and feed and wood for barns and things like that. And in the feed, there were snakes, birds, mice, rodents, and they're running around the bottom of the Gale Crater. But if they had only brought elk, which lick lichen off of rocks, they would still be alive today, their children, on Mars. But they didn't. They brought the sheep and the goats thinking, well, we'll be rescued. But they didn't really quite realize they had to wait another 2,000 years for that to happen.
All right, let's go to the phones now.
Sure.
Jim in Venice Beach, California. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I communicate with the Zetas, and Nancy Leader, she talks about the pumpkin heads, and I know who she's talking about because I see them. One time they stopped, and they did, like, I dreamt about them at night, and I go, the next day, I live in Southern California. The next day, they went over to Arizona, Phoenix, I guess what Phoenix lights happened. And there's about seven of them. And they did something over Luke Air Force Base. Some construction workers said they shot down a F-16. But I communicated with them, and I've seen their face, and Nancy Leader calls them the pumpkin heads, and I could draw the picture of it. I could give it to Nancy Leader. Nancy Leader could go, this guy knows who they are. This guy communicates with them.
So, who are the pumpkin heads, by the way, Gordon?
Well, that's a really interesting question you've asked, Jim, and I'm glad you did. And like I said, there's over 1,000 unselfish races, so they look like all kinds. But these are fourth-dimensional beings who are all unselfish. But if there's a book that you can download from the internet called Alien Races, it's a PDF, and it's from the KGB, and it was found in a field, and then the son of a KGB agent in Spain found out that when his father died, that he had the book, but it was much updated because all of his KGB friends, when the Soviet Union collapsed, kept sending notes to him about what they had found out. And it lists 50 third-dimensional races, and they're not all friendly. I mean, just like when you walk out on the street and you're looking at people, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what I call it. And it not only has pictures of some of their ships, it has pictures of some of the aliens, and it describes what the Russians, the Soviet Union, discovered about them, and it's a fascinating, fascinating thing. I had somebody read it on my show just so everyone could see it, but there's just about everything you can think of. There's little jellyfish people. They can't even build a flying saucer, but telepathically they can communicate with those who do and say, can you give me a ride to Earth? I want to be here for this transformation. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't doubt for a minute, but when you said they shot down an F-16, now that sounds kind of selfish, because I doubt that an unselfish race would do that. But it's probably a third-dimensional group, just like us, where you have the selfish and the unselfish with free will walking around together, and every time somebody gets a good idea that would make the world a better place, some selfish person tries to come and mess with that to, you know, create a gray area. So loopholes and exclusions. So
how did they get here, Gordon?
Well, in the fourth dimensional beings, they have their own ships, and they're dimensional. And the unselfish ones can go between the fourth and the third dimension. So they could be up in the fourth dimension where you can't see them. They could have a mothership parked in your yard, and you'd walk right through it, and you wouldn't even know it. But they can come to the third dimension. But the selfish fourth dimensional beings that want to come to Earth to mess with us, when they try and go to the third dimension and then back to the fourth, they screw it up every single time. And the unselfish extraterrestrial finally said, "That's it. We're not saving you every time you do this. If you want to go to third dimension and mess with humans, you can. That's your right. You have free will. But we're not putting you back on the fourth dimension." So these selfish third dimensional extraterrestrials that were selfish fourth dimensional extraterrestrials, they're not happy. This is the kind of a world where if somebody trips and they reach out to help them from falling, they'll be executed on the spot, because one act of kindness is a death sentence.
Let's go to Steve in White Mountains, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Steven, go ahead, sir.
Hello, George.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Steve.
I'm sorry. First of all, I want to thank you for your show. You keep me awake at night and alert. And
perfect.
I appreciate all of your information. My question is, you know, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about my children. I'm thinking about where I can go and relocate within the next, you know, 6 months so they can be in a safe spot. And if you can maybe direct me there, and I'll take my question, answer off the air. And
all right.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people might want to relocate. Not everybody has that capability, Gordon. What do you think?
Well, I keep telling people, you know, if you wait until it hits the news and everybody's clogging the streets, how much do you think you're going to be able to sell your house for?
It's too late then.
It's too late then. So if you go to ZetaTalk.com, right at the top, it's got safe areas. And it pretty well lists every country in the world, every area, every city, and where there isn't a specific, because, you know, people write Nancy all the time, and they want hand-holding. Oh, I'm so afraid that I'm going to die. Is this, what's going to happen here in New Market City, which I just made up. But let's say there's another city on one side that's in the safe areas description, and there's another city on the other side. You know, an adult intelligent person would interpolate between the two for what's going to happen in where they live in New Market City, but people want their hands held. But you will find as complete a description as you could ever hope for of what's going to be safe and what isn't if you go to ZetaTalk.com, and right at the top, it's got safe areas.
Wayne in Chicago, go for it, Wayne. We got a minute left on this segment.
Hey, thank you very much, George.
Sure.
Yes, son, thank your guest, too. I want to ask him a question. George, I can't remember the guy's name, but you had a guest on a few weeks ago, and he was very thorough like your guest is now. And he was talking about, like, May 20th might be the start, you know, just the beginning phases of this planet entry into Earth's, you know, surroundings. So I want to ask him, he said the Zetas would not tell the date. I mean, if they're unselfish, why would they not tell us the date so we can prepare ourselves?
That is a good question. 30 seconds here, Gordon. Why not just give us the date?
Okay, Wayne, it's nice talking to you, and that's a great question. The reason why is because there have been for decades very selfish billionaires who want to use the opportunity just before a pole shift to kill everyone they don't like and they don't want to see survive. And they figure that with the collapse of governments and police forces and no law enforcement of any kind, they would never be brought to justice. So if they knew that pole shift was going to be noon on Thursday, they would try and kill as many people as possible Wednesday at 5. You see what I'm saying?
All right. We're coming back for final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast with Gordon James, Gianni Noto, as we talk about Planet X and polar shifts. Now, back to the polar shifts for a second, Gordon. At what point are we at right now in terms of it being completed?
there's a lot of things happening that just don't reach your, you know, the major media isn't going to hit you over the head with it. But for instance, did you know the entire Arctic, all of that ice, because there's no land under it, rotates clockwise normally, but because of the earth wobble caused by Planet X, it built up a huge ridge of ice on the Alaska side of the Arctic Ocean, and that blocked the whole Arctic from rotating clockwise, and now the only way it could move was to move counterclockwise. Well, that's never happened before. That should be like huge news. Imagine a continent-sized block of ice turning one way, as far as anybody knows, going as far back as they could, and now it's turning the other way.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, and, you know, there's all... If you look at the pictures of the jet stream, it's like somebody had a bunch of spaghetti in their hand. They turn their back to the map and throw it over their shoulder at the wall, and wherever it sticks, that's the new jet stream. Well, the jet stream normally in the northern hemisphere should go west to east, in the southern hemisphere east to west. You see these gigantic loops, and that's why you get 30 degrees one day and 80 the next day, because these loops are moving, and it's creating a terrible weather mixing. And that the Zeta said just before pole shift that they're going to have snow in the summer and balmy days in the winter, a complete mix of seasons.
Do they predict the future?
Well, they do in a general sense, but they don't give an exact date because there'll always be some selfish person that's trying to take advantage of that. You know.
Well, that could be too. Wayne is in the West Central Ohio. Welcome to the program, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, I was wondering about this, the vibration that, you know, the human on Earth vibrates at, the frequency that we're at. With this pole shift, wouldn't that change, you know, the vibration that we, our frequency is at? Would we even be able to survive that frequency change? And then also, there was a woman last week, I think her name was Dennison, talking about afterlife, like fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension. Would that possibly open up these other dimensions?
And the frequency we're at is 528 hertz. So does a pole shift affect that, Gordon? I don't know.
Well, you see, the thing is it's a frequency of consciousness. And when we go to the fourth dimension on Earth, selfish people are just not going to be able to survive. I mean, they'll try for a while. But, you know, if everybody on Earth who's unselfish and caring and empathetic can tell if somebody's lying, how far is a con man going to get in that crowd? So you could say that they're not going to be very functional and they're going to die out. And the lucky thing about selfish people is they each do each other in first because they each want to be king of the hill. So, you know, the thing is that there is going to be a higher frequency, and the new hybrid race is going to be perfectly designed to live with that, you know, live 400 years, have an IQ of over 300, be totally telepathic and able to contact any other living thing anywhere in the universe just by thinking about it. So it's going to be a new world for those, and the human race as we know it, which was intentionally created defective by the Anunnaki, even though there have been many other races, extraterrestrial races, upgrading us from time to time, we were designed to be defective. And so we can't really survive at the higher frequency as well as we might if we had a redesign of our body, because the soul is your soul. It's what you make of life is up to you. But the body can be designed as an upgrade. Like if you were going to go to the used car store, would you buy a 53 Studebaker or would you buy a 2018 Mercedes SUV, you know?
I don't know. I might buy the old Studebaker, fix it up and sell it for a profit.
Yeah. Now, but you can see that it would be the same you that's in both cars, but which vehicle would you rather have, an upgraded one or a not so upgraded one?
Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello there, George. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you, Barry. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
I tell you what, now, Cornelius, we had a time the other night talking, but anyway, he's my new best friend. But listen, for Gordon, Gordon, I spent 4 months in the summer of 1990 in Bar Harbor, Maine. Do you live close to Bar Harbor?
Well, if I had a Learjet, it's 20 miles away as the crow flies, but driving on the roads, it's a good hour and a half.
Yeah, I understand completely. Do you go north from Bangor, maybe?
No, I'm 2 miles back from the saltwater on the coast, and so is Bar Harbor on the coast. So I wouldn't go inland to Bangor.
You're going
to
show up there too, Barry? You show up everywhere.
Isn't the truth, George? I love to travel. I'm going to be out there in Everett, Washington with you in July.
Don't threaten me, Barry.
Hey, listen, Gordon.
I say I'm at an undisclosed location because I don't want a crowd of people who might not all be unselfish showing up and expect me to service them through pole shifts.
You never know. You never know.
I love it. Hey, Gordon, listen, if you say there's going to be a polar shift, and sure enough, the North Pole is going to end up off the coast of Brazil, is there any kind of time frame on this thing happening? Am I supposed to get ready tomorrow, or have I got a few years?
No, if you're ready today, then you're ready tomorrow, and I can't give you the date, and nobody who knows will give you the date, so there isn't any answer. You can ask all you want in as many different ways as you want, but you're not going to get that answer. But I will say this. If you're ready today, you will be ready. And you know that Alien Races book? That was some of those groups were contacted by the Soviet government 35 years ago. And one of the races says that the beginning will be in 2017 and the beginning of the end will be in 2022. So what the hell does that mean? Your guess is as good as mine.
Is this like the apocalypse, Gordon?
This is the apocalypse, most definitely.
Shani's with us in Los Angeles. Shani, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. And George, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Joshua Tree this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Coming up. It's fast.
And Gordon, thank you. I do appreciate your wisdom. I see some legitimacy to it. I was wondering, though, if you could tell me, have you read the Phoenix Journals?
The Phoenix Journals were
put out by Ashtar Command, namely the one Prepare for the Landings, which is a very interesting book in which Ashtar assures us galactic humans that during the these Earth changes that the galactics have each and every one of us on like GPS exact location and that they'll come and like lift us out of it, essentially. I don't exactly know how they plan to do this, but I have read up a lot on the Merkaba, the spinning lightship, our personal spaceship, and I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that for when this does happen, what can we do, you know, as individual souls to save ourselves from catastrophic.
You can use your free will to contact the unselfish ETs. Now, if you're selfish and you try to contact ETs, guess who's going to respond? The selfish ones. But if you are kind and empathetic and at least 51% of the time you think of the other person first, then you're going to have a glowing aura. You're going to be like a point of light in a planet surrounded by clouds of selfishness, greed, and violence. So they're going to spot you from 1,000 miles away, the unselfish ETs, and they will contact you. Now, they might not do it consciously because that might interfere with whatever you've got going on in your life, but they will contact you. And, you know, there are lots of different people who hold themselves out that they know all the answers and they've written books. And I can't really, first of all, I can't read anything. So the days of reading are over for me.
No, don't say that. We're going to get good old Doc Wallach to work with
you.
That's
right, and I hope you keep that promise.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, so I don't know what to make of all these things. I have a friend that he goes, I'm just the messenger, Gordon, and he listened to all these YouTube videos from the angelics, and one angelic said this, and the other angelic said the exact opposite, and he goes, how can the angelics disagree if they're angelic? And I said, that's for you to use your heart to discern which is the truth. I can't help you.
Clarence is with us in Waco, Texas now, first-time caller. Good morning, Clarence.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you with us.
Now I hear my question, which is basically, now, if the ships are floating up in space, right, and they're not using any kind of regular propulsion, that means they're using magnetism. Now, and now I'm wondering, how is that going to affect the poles? And it was just,
okay, let's find out. How will that affect the poles?
It won't affect the poles at all. I mean, you're talking about a molten core of iron in the Earth. You're talking about a giant, 23 times stronger magnetic field of Planet X, but it has nothing to do with the operation of spaceships. They're like spitting into a rainstorm. You know, it doesn't matter.
Is there anything we should be concerned about with them? I mean, you and Nancy think that they're all nice and peaceful.
Well, that's what I just was explaining. If you are trying to contact them and call them and you're selfish, the unselfish ETs aren't going to be fooled even for a second. You know, a lot of selfish people think, well, I got away with what I did because nobody saw me. But if they knew that everything you do ever, even what you think, is recorded in the Akashic record, then maybe they wouldn't be thinking that way. But an unselfish person thinks, well, I made a mistake, and I hope to God I never do that again because I'm trying to be a better person every day.
Couple more calls to go. Let's go to Joe in British Columbia on the international line. Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Hi, George. How are you today?
Good, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
About Planet X or Planet Nibiru. You see, the message that I am receiving from my source of ET, that Planet X is not inside our solar system. It is outside of our solar system. That Planet X belongs to a star Sirius, and it is 8.5 light year away from our solar system. How can that planet that far enter inside our solar system? And beside that...
That's a good question, indirectly, because I'll surprise you with the answer. NASA discovered what they called Planet 9, and Planet 9 is actually the dark, burned-out twin of our sun, and it's in the direction of Orion, and that's the orbit that Planet X, or Nibiru, makes, is between this burned-out cinder of the twin of our sun and our sun. So it actually goes faster than the speed of light, which scientists do not understand at all, to get that huge distance. And even then, it takes them 3,657 years. But this whole question over whether it's outside the solar system, that's over. Look at the pictures. I said, go look at poleshift.ning.com and go to post your Planet X pictures here and see. I mean, isn't that what they say? A picture is worth a thousand words.
Well, indeed it is. Gordon, for people who might want to get a hold of you, do you accept emails?
No, I can't read them. But you know what I have? Is Janet and I got a post office box in Ellsworth, Maine, and it's P.O. Box 51. We got that without asking for it. I thought that was pretty fun.
P.O. Box 51?
Yeah, like Area 51 in Nevada. P.O. Box 51, Ellsworth, Maine, ELLSWORTH, ME, that's the abbreviation for Maine, 04605. And if you could send donations, we would much appreciate it because we're bouncing along. I don't have a book. I'm not making money anyway. This is just the love of getting the truth out. And I have a lot of enthusiasm for that, as you can tell. But if you want to send a donation or write us a letter or say, I wish you had mentioned this, or, you know, any comments. I've met so many wonderful people who just took the time to send me a postcard or a nice letter. Sometimes make a donation, which doesn't happen very often, but you should see Janet's face when she comes out of the post office dancing because somebody else wrote us about something. And So if you could do that, write to us at that address. That's a way to contact us. And if you're a pretty creative and interesting person, I will send you my telephone number and you can call me.
Very good. You covet that number, don't you?
Well, I got to be protective to a certain extent.
Sure,
you know?
I know. I understand. Gordon, we are out of time, but Gina is on it already with Doc Wallach. He has worked with a number of people who have your same affliction, and let's see what he can do with you, okay?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I really look forward to this.
Absolutely. Doc Wallach, of course, from criticalhealthnews.com. On our next Coast to Coast program, Daniel Estulin joins me. We're going to talk about the Bilderberg Group and some other things, and we've got just great shows throughout the week for you here on Coast to Coast. As we stay live for you 7 nights a week, including holidays. And we're coming up on the Memorial Day weekend in a few weeks. We will definitely have live shows for you there as well on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for the free Coast Zone newsletter, grab the new apps in your app store, coasttocoastam.com. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galanti, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.